Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of Galatians chapter 1, we were taught that all that we do in our walk for the Lord, we do through God's grace. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 8. In those verses it says this, verse 1, Ephesians 2, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom ye also had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, look, walking the flesh, fulfilling its desires, is not grace and liberty. So this is the state of a person who is without Christ, as you see that there in those first three verses of Ephesians 2. And it is how we are before we receive Christ as Savior. We are living in the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, and are children of wrath, even as anyone else would be without Christ. Then verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now this tells us that by the same power of grace we were saved, that we are to live according to that grace, not to sin, rather step-by-step obedience to God and His Word. For we see that in verse 10, also of Ephesians 2, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, again, it is His grace to use us for His great work. So, after you're saved, you're His workmanship. There are good works that He's already planned, He's already created for you to do. He's already ordained it, that you should walk in them. That doesn't mean you're going to be a full-time pastor, evangelist, you're going to be a missionary in some foreign field, but you are going to be a full-time Christian. And so even as you're saved by grace, trusting God, knowing that your works wouldn't do it, you also realize that you serve God and you grow in the Lord. And that's all by grace, not by what you do. We don't work as Christians to deserve grace. We work because He's bestowed grace upon us, and we work out that salvation that's already in our heart as according to His will. So it's important to see that grace is not liberty to the flesh, as so many are trying to characterize it today. And we find that the book of Galatians is now emphasizing this fact, that grace is not liberty to the flesh. And we'll see that as we go throughout the entire book of Galatians. And that's why I said, Galatians sounds like a book was written by God for today, because that's the number one thing in so many churches and denominations across our land, maybe around the world, that everything is seems to be more and more of the flesh and less of the spirit. Grace must always proceed and precede peace. Without God's grace, one does not have peace in his heart. Men often point out that grace was the Greek salutation, whereas peace was the Hebrew salutation. But when one is looking at eternal and living grace, and at the deep down peace, then you see it is only from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have godly peace without living grace from God. And that grace is always applied to the Spirit, not the flesh. And as for reasons of holiness and purity, not fleshly fulfillment. Now, let's look at the last two words of this first part of Galatians chapter 1, under land the groundwork, verses 1 through 5. So now, let's look at verses 4 and 5, where we read this. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now we're getting more and more into it, because now we're saying it is for us that this grace is given. The one who gives this grace and peace gave himself for us to deliver us from this present evil world. Now, so often we think of being saved, we say saved from hell. But we find when we look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, you'd call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When we're saved from our sins, we'll be saved from the penalty of our sins, which is hell. We need to understand, we need to be saved from sin. And it's God who saves us from sin. So, again, we see he gave himself for us. Now, that gave himself there, right at the beginning there, verse 4. The Greek word has the idea of to give, offer, sacrifice, consecrate, yield. For our. Now put those words for our in parentheses. For our makes it mean the sacrifice or consecration of oneself in place of, or to take the place of, another. Christ did that for us when the penalty of our sin was to perish. Now understand, the word death does not mean ceasing to exist. It means separation. The spirit, when your body dies, is separated from your body, but it continues to live. And without Christ, it'll live in hell forever and ever. In Christ, it'll live in heaven forever and ever, awaiting that glorious resurrection when we have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. And what a wonderful thing that is to think about. And he does that for us. But he gave himself for us. This means that in relationship to our sins, Christ offered himself for them. That is, he sacrificed himself in place of them. Christ, in essence, exchanged himself with us, taking our sins and placing them upon himself and his righteousness. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he became sin for us that knew no sin, that we who know all kind of sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, people who would add works, circumcision, or anything else to the grace of God and salvation need to see this verse and understand it is giving all 100% attention to Christ and his work in regard to our salvation. And he goes on to say that he might deliver us. And the idea of the word deliver is is that of to rescue from. We are helpless to deliver ourselves from the consequences of our sin. If you're going to try to make heaven some other way than to humble yourself and say, I'm a sinner, I can't save myself, and I deserve to go to hell, but I believe that Jesus shed his blood for my sins and died for me and rose from the dead, and I'm inviting him into my life as my God and Savior. And if you're unwilling to do that, then what you got to be able to do is die, be buried, and then resurrect yourself, make your body eternal, ascend up into heaven, and then hope your blood will be accepted of God even at that because you've rejected his son's way. Okay, there's not one of you listening to me, and I couldn't do it, raise myself up from the dead, nor make my body eternal. That means we need a Savior. All need a Savior. And praise God, there is a Savior that says that if you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. Whosoever would come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. So he wants to deliver you. The idea then behind the word deliver in its Greek form is to take out of affliction or to take out of danger. That is from the wages of sin. Now, we should never lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ left his own glory. He left his glory-lit throne, the place where he was honored, that every angel would want to carry out his will, where he dwelt forever in eternity past as spirit. He left all of its glory to take on flesh and to be crucified and suffer the fullness of outpoured divine wrath on his human spirit in order to save our sin-stained souls. That is important because the value of the blood shed on Calvary rests upon the nature of the person who gave it. And so we see in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. That was Jesus Christ. And he gave himself as the author of our redemption before he could give himself to us as the object of our devotion. You see, before we can be devoted to him, we have to be saved. So he became the author of our redemption in order to be the object of our devotion. Seeing that Christ did that for us and suffered for us in our place, we should never make light of sin, nor make light of the cross. True devoted love for Christ who died for us will bring forth an abhorrence for our sin, regardless of what the world says. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.